Psalm 84, these are the words of God. To the chief musician on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Yahweh of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, even the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Your altars, O Yahweh of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Yahweh, God of hosts, hear my prayer, Selah. No, O God, give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For Yahweh God is a sun and shield. Yahweh will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Yahweh of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. So for the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. This is a psalm of the sons of Korah. The Korahites were a family of priests who were the appointed, ordained singers in the temple. And he apparently is not able to be at the temple. Of course, if he's from the sons of Korah, we know that the temple exists. And the title, Your House, in the first part of verse 4, usually refers to the temple. But he uses a word for dwelling, a word for tabernacle. In the beginning, how lovely is your tabernacle, Yahweh of hosts. This is because his longing to be at temple is not a longing to be back at his job or back with his family, but a longing for the Lord himself. And so we have his painful longing for the Lord, which is a blessed, if we can call it that, a blessed longing, blessed pain, to use the word from verse 4, in verses 1 through 4. And then we have his blessed condition already, blessed hope, if we can put it that way, in verses 5 through 8. And then we have a blessed certainty in verses 9 through 12. So his longing is a blessed one, even though it's longing and it's painful, and yet it is a crying out for the Lord himself. And he says in verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. So he knows a happiness in the Lord that makes him unwilling to live without public worship. This reminds us that although the Lord is everywhere, he's praying to the Lord. He knows that he may have the Lord's ear where he is. You can see that in verse 8. Hear my prayer, give ear. Yet there is a certain experience of God. There's the Lord's communication of himself, giving us to know him and be present, have his presence with us, that you can only have in the public worship in this life. Our knowledge of God is entirely dependent upon his making himself known to us, giving himself to us. There is an aspect of that that you cannot have just anywhere. You can only have it in the public worship. Now we know the great reason for that is because Christ is the one through whom we come to the Lord. And that's already prophesied in this psalm. But in Hebrews, the great reason for not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is because it's the Lord Jesus who's in the midst of the assembly. And so he longs to be back at the temple. Verse 3 implies, I think, that he remembers seeing little birds who had nested, whether in even in the inside, in the incense altar, because the word altars is plural here, or outside in the big bronze altar. And it's almost like he's saying, you know, it would certainly be happy if I could be that bird, because then that would mean that I had made my home in the temple, and my children would grow up in the temple. That blessed bird gets to lay her young right there. And this is something that I hope each of you, when you have your own young, will teach them the blessedness of being in the gathering, the assembly. So that's his blessed desire, his blessed longing. In the second place, there is his blessed hope. It's true that he does have part of that for which he longs already, in the fact that he may cry out to the Lord. The Lord is his strength. He's not just going to the temple, or he doesn't just desire to go to the temple because he will find that the Lord is his strength there. But the Lord is already his strength for getting him where he needs to be. So when we come to the worship of God, we rejoice that he strengthens us in himself when we're at the worship of God. But you don't have to wait until the worship of God to have strength from him. If that were the case, then we would all just perish, because we must have our strength from him and in him all the time. And so it begins the section in verses 5 through 8 by saying, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you." And since his heart is, God is the strength of his heart is determined to get back to worship. Now, the time between now and when he gets to worship is not necessarily going to be an easy one or a pleasant one. As they pass through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. This may be an indication that wherever he goes with God as his strength, even if it's miserable, even if it's unpleasant with weeping, yet those are not unproductive tears. So the picture is, he's weeping so much that he's like a spring, continual source of water, and he's filling up the valley with pools. But a valley that is watered by a spring is actually a very fertile, very full of life sort of thing. And so it's comforting to us to know that whatever the Lord takes us through to bring us to himself, it's never wasted. It's producing life, and the weeping ends with joy. And so he says, they go from strength to strength, appearing before God in Zion. The Lord is our strength already now. He is our hope. He is our help. And then at the end, there's a blessed certainty that we shall arrive, not just the Lord being our help now in the time of difficulty until we can be gathered to him, but the certainty that we shall be gathered to him. If the Lord is already our strength, as we've heard, but then especially if he hears our prayer, verse 8, and even more than that, if he looks upon the face of our anointed. O God, behold our shield, verse 9. And look upon the face of your anointed. And the word for anointed is the word Messiah, which when it gets translated into Greek in the New Testament is the word Christ. Look upon the face of your Christ, the psalmist prays. That's how he is certain that he shall come at last. And he is actually going to dwell with God, or God will dwell with him in the temple. He says one day in God's house is better than 10,000. Sorry, is better than 1,000 anywhere else. Whatever part he can have in the house of God. Yes, he's a son of Korah, which means he's ordained to be a singer. But even if he was just the lowly doorkeeper, which would put him all the way outside, and he would just be a lowly servant, but at least he would be there. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For Yahweh God is a sun and a shield. So light and brilliance and glory and strength and defense. Yahweh will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And the psalm finishes, O Yahweh of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. So you need to think of this in terms of your life as a whole. The Lord is my shepherd, and he leads us through this life, and he leads us even through the valley of darkest shadow, right? The valley of the shadow of death. He leads us in situations where we have enemies, but he is with us, and so we have him as our hope in the midst of it, and we know that we shall return to or dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. But this reality of our life as a whole is something that we live out a picture of it every week. Because in this life, you can only have the Lord's Day assemblies on the Lord's Day. The rest of the time is hard, painful, includes lots of sad things, lots of weeping, and yet if our delight has come to be in the Lord so much, that being well instructed about the way that we have him himself on the Lord's Day and its assemblies, we will look forward so much to the Lord's Day and look forward so much to the gathering. Whoever else might be there, whatever else they might be like, or they might be thinking, our heart and mind should first and foremost be on God, knowing that we have the Lord Jesus leading us in the assembly in a way that we don't get any other place in this life. Knowing that in the Lord Jesus and his leading us and his helping us by his Spirit, we have God himself in the assembly in a way that we don't get. And so if we're going to grow in understanding that God is leading us through the valley of tears, and none of the tears are wasted, it's all productive, it's all for our good, all for our learning to enjoy him more, long for him, that we will be satisfied when we come at last to heaven, then we need to learn to think of the Lord's Day and the corporate worship on the Lord's Day that way. So that we have that training of our hearts in the smaller weekly way of longing for God, delighting in him as our help, yes, every day, but eager to get to the Lord's Day assembly, to have that experience and enjoyment of him that he gives us there. And as he does so, as his Spirit trains us to live that way in the weekly pattern, the weekly rhythm, then we'll find that his Spirit is training us to live that way and think that way with respect to heaven itself and this life as a whole, and getting through the valley of tears, looking forward to when we shall be with God in his holy temple, that living temple, when the dwelling place of God is with men, and they don't need a temple, and they don't need a sun, because God himself is the temple, and God himself is the light of the place, God himself and the Lamb. And so, my prayer and desire for you, my dear family, is that you would have the blessing of the weekly pattern, and that even more than that, you would have the blessing of the reality of this life as a whole into eternity. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what a help it is to us, especially when we are in seasons that feel like the valley of tears. But we thank you that you are already our strength, that our longing for you is a gift from you, and that you will at last bring us all the way home. We pray that you would help us to live that way. We thank you for the gift of the Lord's Day and the Lord's Day assemblies, and especially of your Son, our Redeemer, who leads the assembly that has been consecrated by his blood. And we pray that you would make us to delight in your day and to delight in the holy assembly of your day, that in the way that you have promised, your Spirit would train our hearts to delight in you. And so even this week, Lord, we pray that as we go through the difficult things, you would teach and train our hearts to strain forward to when we can be gathered again in Christ, in glory, with the congregation on earth and the Lord's Day Assembly, and use it to train our hearts for the other longing and delight we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.